going to have Brother Joey and Sister Maddie come now and share a song or two with us, and you pray for them as they come. I'm so thankful to God for the talent that He's blessed them with, and I'm thankful that they're using it for the Lord. So.
Pray for Maddie. She's having throat problems, and told her she'll do just fine. This is a song that we've never done before, and it's called Ancient Words. This is a song that I've never sung here before. It's a song about, it's a prayer. And, you know, we've all fallen away from the Lord in our lives, and on a daily basis, I find myself having to sing these words to one degree or another. And it's about the mercy of God. And if there's anybody here tonight that's lost, it's this same mercy that you need, and the same prayer that the sinner prays, you know, to find the Lord in salvation. It's called Lord Have Mercy. Jesus, I've forgotten words that you have spoken, promises that burn within my heart have now grown dim. With a doubting heart I follow the paths of earthly wisdom. Forgive me for my unbelief, renew the fire again. Lord, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. I have built an altar where I have worshipped things of man. I have taken journeys that have drawn me far away from you. Now I am returning to your mercies ever flowing. Pardon my transgressions, help me love you again. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. I've longed to know you and all your tender mercies, like a river of forgiveness ever flowing without end. I bow my heart before you in the goodness of your presence, your grace forever shining like a beacon in the night. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy
. Appreciate the good songs. You're here tonight and you're lost. I pray that you will cry out to the Lord. cry out to Him for His mercy. That's what you need. You need His mercy. You need His grace. Going to turn the service over to Brother Forshee this time. As he comes before us tonight to bring the word of the Lord, I want to ask you to pray for him and just uphold him tonight in your prayers. Pray that God will bless him and grant him the liberty to speak the things tonight that need to be heard. So, Brother Forshee.
Bless you, preacher. I first want to say that I'm glad to be here tonight, and I'm glad I got here on time tonight. I told someone last night after the little mix-up as far as the starting time, and I'll take some of that blame. You know, I'm not going to put all that on Brother Miller because I should have asked what time church was going to be, and I didn't. But I told somebody that down in Tennessee, where I live now, we're just not smart enough down there to keep up with those different times. So we just set one time and let that be it, because we're just not smart enough to keep up with all that. I do want to say before I take a scripture reading that I'm thrilled tonight to be a child of God, but I'm thrilled to see some folks here that I've known for a long, long time. Some of them, there's some folks sitting over here that I went to school with. The gray hairs in my head tells you, and I won't mention them that's in their heads, but that it's been a while since we went to school together, but Brother Larry Hinton and Carol and of course, you know the Bandies, we all went to school together a long time ago, and I have such respect for them, and I appreciate their friendship through the years that we've had, and a couple of ladies sitting on each side of Brother Oscar Raines, and Brother Oscar Raines has meant so much in my life as an inspiration to me, because when I was a young boy at Old Union Missionary Baptist Church, Brother Oscar was a deacon there, and he's just been a beacon of light in my life, always as a person that has always been steadfast in the service of the Lord, and he still is, that sets such an example before me in my life. And there's times in life that things will come along and cause you to maybe waver a little bit. Might do that. But I've always looked at Oscar Raines and said, there's a man that stayed on the path and stayed true to the course that God set him on. And I'm just thankful for so many people like that. Brother Doss and others that I've known for so many years. And I'm glad that they're all here tonight. And those two ladies sitting on each side of Brother Raines they're relatives of mine. And they took care of my mother in the last months of her life. And my family has thanked God so much for that. I want to ask your attention tonight to the Word of God. You're lost and without Him. I thought everything that's been done up to now has just been as God would have it to be. And that last song, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Amen. I'm glad that we have a merciful God tonight. Amen. And His mercy has been shed forth upon me in my life so many times. But those that are lost tonight are only here. The only reason that you're still here is because of the mercy of God. Amen. to have extended your life and to have allowed you to live another day, to have another opportunity to get right with God. I want to read a passage of Scripture tonight from the 10th chapter of Romans. And we ask for your attention and we ask for your prayers as we read this passage of Scripture and try to bring forth the things that God has laid upon our hearts from this. This is the writings of the Apostle Paul. He wrote to the Romans, the Christians at Rome. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth upon him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We'll end our scripture reading there at the 15th verse, the 10th chapter. And I would like to use for this time for a lesson text the 13th verse that I read. And that verse says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I would like to use for a subject tonight, if I may, God's plan of salvation. God's plan of salvation. And I want to emphasize that it is God's plan. Man has had nothing to do with drawing the plan of salvation. It is a plan of grace. Last night when I walked in, Brother Miller was preaching about love. And as I sat there and I listened to the things that he brought forth out of the Word of God concerning love, the love of God, and I thought then how that love drew the plan of salvation. Amen. Love drew the plan. I believe that this plan of salvation was drawn by the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in the councils of glory before the creation of the world. I believe that this plan of salvation that God drew and has set forth, that it was carefully wrought. Every plan, whether it's the plan of man or whether it's the plan of God, there is always an objective. There is a purpose to that plan. And I believe that the objective or the purpose of God's plan of salvation was to redeem the souls of fallen men from the bondage of sin and to purchase them again for the glory of God while satisfying the justice of God. This great plan of salvation that God drew to redeem the fallen souls of men. You see, man was created by God. I believe that God created man. I believe that He created this world and everything that therein is. There's many other ideas taught in the world today, but I say that they are contrary to the Word of God. And you can take your choice of whether you will prefer to believe man or whether you would prefer to believe God. But the Bible says that God created man. And Job said that God has a desire to the work of His hands. Even though man sinned in the Garden of Eden, and that sin brought about a separation between man and God, but yet God has a desire to the work of His hands. And so I believe that in the counsels of glory, that God created or set forth, drew the plan of salvation, and that it was agreed that Jesus would come into this world and take upon Himself the flesh of man, and that He would live here in this world tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, and that He would go to the cross of Calvary as the sinless Lamb of God, and He would shed His blood and He would give His life to pay the debt of sin for all man. In the book of Galatians, in about the fourth chapter, although God had promised this from the Garden of Eden, I believe that God gave the promise of a Savior from the Garden of Eden. When that He spoke to Satan and He pronounced the sentence upon Satan. And time passed, but we read in the book of I believe the fourth chapter, the book of Galatians, and the scripture says that when the fullness of time was come, that God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That is why that Christ came. He came into this world, took upon Himself the flesh of man, and He did that He might go to the cross of Calvary to redeem the souls of men, to be the redeemer of this world. The scripture says in Romans, and about the fifth chapter, and I'll try to turn there and read that. And we preached from some of that the other night, where that the scripture says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now that's the sentence that passed upon all of us. The sentence of death that passed upon all of us. But I'm glad tonight that God did not leave man in his sin. He would have had every right to have done so. I don't believe that God was under any obligation whatsoever to provide a redeemer or a savior for man. But because of His great love for His created creature that He made, God had a desire to the work of His hands, and in His mercy, Brother Joey, it was His mercy and His love that God said that I will send my Son into this world, my only begotten Son, and I will give Him to pay the debt of sin. And so the scripture says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners," I believe that ought to really say all were made sinners, "all were made sinners, So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. This plan of salvation that God set forth into the world, he drew that by his great love, and he sent his son into the world to take upon himself that flesh of man and to live here among men sinlessly, and then to go to the cross of Calvary. The scripture says in the book of Philippians that he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was appointed in the plan of salvation before the foundation of the world. God drew this great plan of love and salvation for man, that man might, through faith in the work of Jesus Christ and what he did and his atoning blood, that man could be purchased back to God. The great plan of salvation. In the book of Acts, when that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and you know that account of how that Peter stood and he preached on the day that God poured out the Spirit upon the church. And I thank God tonight for the Spirit that he placed in the church. I thank him for the Spirit that I'm able to feel in my heart and that you're able to feel if you're a child of God. I thank him for the Spirit that's been felt here even tonight among God's people. That same Spirit that is able to give joy into the heart of a child of God is the same Spirit that brings conviction into the heart of a lost person and draws them to God. That same Spirit. The Spirit was poured out upon the church on the day of Pentecost. And Peter stood and he preached Jesus Christ to them. And he said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. I want to say tonight that it wasn't just the wicked hands of those that took him and led him up Calvary's hill and nailed him to the cross. It wasn't just them that nailed him to the cross. It was every one of us, and it was our sins that nailed him to the cross of Calvary. We're all guilty of the death of Jesus Christ. He was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God for that very purpose, to be the Redeemer of all the world. And Peter said, whom by wicked hands ye have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And I'm glad tonight that I have a risen Savior. Amen. I have a Savior that lives today. Amen. And because he lives, we live. Because he lives, we're able to live. You know, the prophet Isaiah, he saw all this 700 years. And I've read this chapter, as many of you have, so many times. The 53rd chapter of Isaiah, how that Isaiah, 700 years before Christ even came to the world, gave us one of the most vivid pictures of the sufferings and the death of Jesus Christ. He described it as if he was there almost, the sufferings of Jesus Christ. I believe that he saw him spiritually 700 years before. And Isaiah said concerning the death of Jesus Christ, Isaiah said that God should see, or would see, the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I believe when Jesus Christ died on the cross and his blood poured forth from his body, that atoning blood, that blood that has purchased us as the children of God. And I believe that when Jesus Christ took his blood by the Spirit into the Holy of Holies and presented that as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all of the world, I believe that God was entirely in every way satisfied with what Jesus had done. And I believe he accepted that as payment in full for the sins of the whole world. We sang a song sometimes. The old account was settled long ago. I tell you, the old account was settled at the cross of Calvary. The old account was settled there. But for me personally, it was not settled until I met the requirements of the plan of salvation. God drew the plan of salvation. Man had nothing to do with it. He didn't get to edit it. He didn't get to add anything to it or take anything from it. God set forth the terms of the plan of salvation. And it has never changed, and it never will. I believe that God was satisfied when that Jesus died on the cross and he took it in full payment for the sins of man. The debt was paid and victory was won. And salvation would be offered freely to all under the terms of repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Now there is something in the plan of salvation that God does require of every person that would come to him for the forgiveness of their sins. There is something that God does require, and that is salvation. And that is repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. In the book of Luke, there is a passage of scripture that after Jesus was crucified, and he rose from the grave on the third day. And the scriptures in the book of Luke, the last chapter, the 24th chapter. And it tells us there and gives us the account of how that two men was on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus joined them as they walked along the road to Emmaus. And they did not recognize him or know who he was. And Jesus joined them. And he talked with them. And they said, did not our heart burn concerning that time that they were with Jesus? And Jesus, as the scripture says, that and their eyes were opened and they knew him as they drew near to Emmaus. And Jesus departed from them. And they turned around and they went right back to Jerusalem. And when they got back to Jerusalem, they found the 11 apostles gathered together, and they told them what they had done and how that they had met Jesus on that road to Emmaus. And while they were all together, Jesus appeared in the midst of them. On that occasion, Jesus appeared many times to different ones. At one time, the scripture says, up to 500. And Jesus said this to those that were gathered together, the 11 apostles, the two men from Emmaus. And Jesus said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now this plan of salvation that Jesus Christ perfected, it needed to be published. It had to be published to all of the world. Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission to the church, he was really telling them to go forth and publish the good news of the plan of salvation whereby that every soul can be saved and redeemed for God. He said, go ye into all the world. Go ye into all the world. to publish this. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, when he was on his way back to Jerusalem, and he stopped at a place called Miletus, and he sent some to Ephesus to call for the elders of the church to come down to where he was. And when they came to where that Paul was, Paul spoke with them, and Paul reminded them, and he said that I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Listen, I could tell you a lot of things tonight. I could tell you things that you might like to hear. I could tell you things that might suit you. But it wouldn't be profitable for you if it's not the Word of God. It would not help you. It would not be of any benefit to you. Paul said that he kept back nothing that would be profitable to them. But he said, I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jew and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ our Lord. And folks, that's what that God requires for you or from you under the terms of the gospel according to the plan of salvation. That's what he requires from you. We are saved by faith without any works of man whatsoever. It is by faith, the scripture says, and faith alone. Without anything added to it, it is by faith that we are saved, and God requires repentance for our sins. And I want to say tonight that repentance is not what the world teaches or presents as being repentance. There's many places tonight, many preachers, I've heard them on television, other places, they'll tell you that all that repentance is it's just a turning around. It means turn. You just turn. You go in this way and you just make up your mind that you want to go that way. It is not that. The scripture says that godly sorrow works repentance not to be repented of. And I tell you the repentance that I had in my soul before the Lord saved me was with godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. That is the kind of repentance that God requires. And I'll say that when you get a vision of yourself and you understand that you are doomed and headed for a devil's hell, if you die lost and without God, when you get that vision of yourself, when God opens your eyes and shows you where you're headed, that you will see, and you'll understand, and godly sorrow that is God given. It is a sorrow. You don't have that. I don't have that. It is God wrought in the souls of men. Repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. You see, that is the plan of salvation. Now, man has changed all that. Man has devised that, has changed all that. There is preached today in the world an easy believism. You just accept Christ. Well, that's not even scriptural. Folks, I've tried to tell you and present to you tonight the plan of salvation that I believe that God drew, and I believe that this is what God has done for us, and I believe that this is what God requires of us. He required that of me. And every testimony that I've ever heard that was a credible testimony, every one of them always said the same thing, that they repented toward God for their sins. They were sorry for their sins with godly sorrow. Sorry for their sins. Looking to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, to take away those sins. And what sweet relief when that you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. And the scripture said in our lesson text tonight, and I'll read it for you again. The scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But just before that, in the verse just before that, or two verses before that, the scripture tells us how that we must call. The scripture says, for with the heart man believeth. With the heart. It's with the very heart. The inward part of man. The very innermost part of your being is where that you must call to God. Not with just the mouth or not with just the mind, but with the heart. Seek, reach out to God and call upon Him. Now Paul said, how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now Paul kind of gave them in a backwards order there. But I want to tell you that God's already taken care of every one of them. Yes, I believe that God does call men to preach. I know He called one. I know that. I believe He called Brother Miller. I believe He called Brother Moran. I believe He called every other God called preacher in this house tonight. I believe that they received a divine call of God to preach the gospel. There's many that's took up the work. But the scripture says, how can they preach except they be sent? And God has called men. Jesus Christ called out men while He was here. And He said, come and I'll make you fishers of men. And He sent them forth to preach the gospel. And the word gospel means the good news. That's what it means. And He sent them forth to preach the good news of the plan of salvation that He perfected. Having heard, you are required to believe. And believing, you are required to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. When I was lost and without God, I'm not ashamed to tell any of that. I'm just thankful that He heard my call. But when I was lost for a number of months, and I would go to the altar and I'd bow and I would pray and I would seek God. And at first I was a little timid. I didn't want to pray aloud. I heard others praying aloud, but before that the Lord saved my soul, I got to the place where that I didn't care who heard me. I called audibly upon the Lord, cried out to Him, and I believe that that's still okay today. Call upon Him. The scripture says, while He's near, seek Him while He may be found. Folks, God has done all this. He perfected the plan of salvation. Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the debt of sin. God has set forth the terms of the gospel, repentance and faith. I ask you tonight, what more? What more could He have done? I don't know anything else He could have done. He has offered it freely to the whole world. He says that if you will just put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, that He will save you and give you eternal life. The scripture says, whosoever shall call upon His name shall be saved. And we are told that that word shall is one of the strongest words in the English language. And it means absolutely, without fail, you'll be saved. Amen. If you call repenting of your sins and putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful tonight that a long time ago, almost 50 years now, that one night he heard the call of this 14-year-old boy. I told you the other night I didn't have any money. I didn't have anything to offer him. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter if I'd owned the whole world. He wouldn't have accepted that in exchange for the salvation of my soul. He don't want that. He doesn't need anything that you've got or I've got. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. He doesn't need anything that we have. But oh, how we need what he has. How we need what he has. And if you're lost without God tonight, you need salvation. You need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. You need that great assurance in your life. That song that was sung. Oh, is it well? Is it well with my soul? Sinner, is it well with your soul tonight? Or is there something missing? Is there a longing in your heart? Is there fear? Is the condemnation of God upon you tonight because of your sin? If it is, according to the plan of salvation, you can be saved tonight. Because the Word of God says today is the day of salvation. Today. I'd like to have a song. I want to give you an opportunity. That's all I can do is just give you an opportunity. God has done everything that could possibly be done for the salvation of your soul. And it's up to you. It really is. It's up to you. You can accept those terms of salvation. You can come to Him repenting of your sins. You can come to Him under the terms of the gospel. I used to hear old preachers say, and they talk about the terms of the gospel. Well, that's what it is. That's what the terms are. There's just two. Repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. And you can't do that by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. The scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But I'll say this, when you come to Him, He will give you, if you'll come repenting of your sins, He will give you the faith that you need to be saved. He'll give it to you.
Amen. 354.
Would you come tonight?
354.
Would you be saved?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender.
Is God dealing with your heart tonight?
Feet I bow.
Can you feel that tug upon your heart of the Holy Spirit drawing you to God?
Take me,
you
Jesus,
can hide
take me
behind
now.
A person, behind a songbook, I did. But you can't hide from God. He knows where you are and He knows your heart. And He's saying tonight, would you come? Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Sinner, would you come tonight? Would you surrender to Him?
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit truly know.
Appreciate the good message of truth. I'm thankful to be here tonight to hear.
Bless you, what
we've heard. I'm thankful if you're here tonight and you're lost. I'm certainly not thankful you're lost, but I'm thankful that you were here to hear the Word of God. And I pray that you would take heed to it. I thought again while Brother. Before she was preaching tonight, thought about this so many times, tried to imagine it in my mind in so many different ways. A lot of people in the world today, they say, well, I just decided to accept Jesus as my Savior. And I know most of the time, I know what they mean. They just made a decision to do that, just decided in their mind to do that. I've tried to think about that so many ways. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all to think about a person that's doesn't have any money, doesn't have anything at all, to go before King while the king is sitting there on his throne, for that person that is without anything at all to offer him and to walk up and say, well, I've decided that I'll just accept you. But you know, it makes all the sense in the world to me to think about that man going to that king and saying, I have nothing at all to offer you, but I'm in great need, and I sure need your mercy upon me. You need God's mercy. Amen. Brother Forshee is absolutely right. God doesn't owe any of us anything. He's not under any obligation to us at all, but he has plenty of grace and plenty of mercy to give you if you will come to him and seek him with all your heart. Let's have another verse or two of song.
357.
Lost friend, listen, you... And I hope that you will realize this deep down in your heart. You're never going to need anything else in this world the way you need salvation. I hope that and pray that it will be your utmost priority here tonight to seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul. I want to encourage everybody to follow the Lord as we sing another song.
357. Have thy affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Countest thou all things for Jesus but lost? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Hast thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Is there no more condemnation for sin? Is thy heart right with God? Does Jesus rule in the temple within? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Is thy heart right with God? Does he each moment abide in thy soul? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Art thou now walking in heaven's pure light? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy soul wearing the garment of white? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.
Anyone have a word on your heart?